Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour, the morning edition. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and every Friday we always talk a little bit about corn and the corn industry with the Texas corn producers. And today I have the executive director of the Texas corn producers, Mr. David Gibson. How are you doing today, Mr. Gibson?
I'm doing well.
Well, Mr. Gibson, I know that corn is in full swing right now. Y'all are having a busy, busy season up here in the High Plains and in the Panhandle. You've got a lot of harvest happening. How's that turning out this year?
Well, we're beginning to wrap up a lot of our silage harvest. A lot of folks are just completed or just near completion. I understand there's a little bit of later planted corn that may still go to silage here in the couple of more weeks, but that's about to wrap up. Our grain harvest is really just getting into full swing and be going here, and within probably the next 3 to 4 weeks we'll have all of that wrapped up. So busy time out on the farms as far as this harvest season started, and we're certainly glad to be getting this one behind us. It's been a real challenging year.
Well, you know, we talked about the Panhandle not too long ago. Of kind of, we were the last little bit left to harvest. How did the whole entire state of Texas kind of turn out?
Well, when I look across the state of Texas this time at our corn harvest, we had it's been a tough year from the Rio Grande Valley all the way up to the north of Dallas area, and then even up here on the High Plains. And we had started off the year really dry and had some counties in South Texas that never got enough moisture to plant a crop. Others got planted and had a decent crop growing, and then the heat of the summer come in and the rain shut off, and we're probably going to be about 75% of normal as far as what our statewide yield's going to be, which is going to be a very short crop for Texas in general, Bryce.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one huge thing that we've kind of been talking about pretty recently in national headlines was, you know, there was going to be a railroad strike, but we averted it. But there's still been a lot of problems getting things to places, getting it out and about. Is corn going to be facing some problems, you know, after this harvest to get it to places, maybe even to export or to get it throughout the nation? Are we going to see some of those problems?
Well, what I expect we'll see here in the High Plains and for the most part of the state is that we traditionally bring into our state about 1.5 times the amount of corn that we grow to feed our livestock industries and ethanol plants on the High Plains. So we're dependent. From that aspect, our end users are dependent on the rail to bring in all of the corn that we need to feed those industries. So if the rail had shut down, that was going to present a real issue because, you know, when we talk about our production being down and the droughts we've had, the Oklahoma Panhandles, western Kansas, southeastern Colorado, have had some of those very same issues and low yields. And that's an area that we generally truck a lot of corn into our feed yards and swine operations and dairies. And this year, we're going to have more reliance on the rail. If the rail doesn't run good, don't keep up with bringing in the demand, you know, that's going to be hard for our end users. What it does for our farmers, though, increases the local cash basis on corn. So it's making corn really, we're setting at some historically high prices for our corn as far as what producers are getting, just due to kind of the short crop and the threat of the railroad strike. But if the railroads run and we get adequate amounts, we're still going to see probably still a positive impact on cash prices for our local corn growers, but it's really putting some extra pressure on our end users. And many cases, end users are a lot of our guys that grow corn are cattle feeders and depend on having adequate feed. And so it's kind of a mixed bag how that's affecting us, but the railroad would have really caused us some serious problems if it would have shut down as far as our region.
Well, another big thing that we've been seeing throughout the USDA and throughout the entire agricultural industry is, you know, exporting. And we've got a lot of trade deals that have been underway. A huge one was Taiwan buying more corn and soybeans for the next, you know, some amount of years. How are y'all feeling about, you know, we've had a struggling year to produce so many bushels of corn here in the state of Texas and a lot of places that have had drought? How are y'all feeling about, you know, we've kind of got this pressure of we've got to give them this X amount of bushels for the next, you know, 3 years?
Right. Well, the big factor that's there is for Texas, our main exports of corn and soybeans out of Texas goes directly into Mexico and in southern Texas. And that is the key market for our southern tier of corn growers here in Texas is exports into Mexico. But when we look at the big picture, the demand for corn on a nationwide basis, it's really been good. We've sent a lot to export. The concern we're seeing now, right along two things that we're beginning to see, is the strength of the U.S. dollar is putting pressure on exports for us because it's making our corns much higher than corn from some other countries. The other thing that we've got started, and this is going to impact on a national basis, the fact the Mississippi River is running at a low level and the barge traffic's been reduced. So getting corn and soybeans from the Midwest down to New Orleans to head into those export markets is going to be slower with less barge traffic. And as that happens, we don't know if that's going to force more of them want to sell corn into Texas, for example, to meet our livestock demand. It'll all impact us in a lot of ways on our on prices at the end of the day. And the thing that we'll see going into the spring, and I don't see this impacting us much in Texas in a negative way. It may actually help us. If they can't take barges of fertilizer back up the Mississippi River into the Midwest, we may have a little more adequate supply of fertilizers and things for us here in Texas in the southern tier states, just due to the fact that the supply is going to build up and they can't move it where it's needed as fast. So kind of a complicated picture when we look at the overall picture of exports and then the imports of things that we use to grow our crops.
Well, another big thing, too, that we've hit basically every week because it's very, very important for producers is atrazine. You know, we've got the EPA looking into investigating more into atrazine, and we're still kind of uncertain what their, you know, future plans are, but I know Texas Corn has, you know, a link on their website to basically get the producer's voice out and to be heard a little bit. Am I right, Mr. Gibson?
Yes, and I want to, again, encourage growers. Here we are, the 1st of October. The final comments are to be in by October 7th. So we're coming up on short days left in order to get comments sent by producers into EPA. That can be done real easily on our website at texascorn.org. You can click, make your comments to EPA and send. You can spend 2 or 3 minutes doing that, telling them the importance of atrazine to your farm and how the loss of it will impact you. And we're really pushing to get a lot of comments sent in on a national basis. And even here in Texas, probably about 80% of our acres are impacted, will be impacted if we lose this product in a way that will probably increase our cost of production. So it's critical to the vast majority of our acres here in Texas and on a national basis.
Well, another big thing, too, is policies in general for the ag industry have been kind of going all over the place at the moment. What is kind of Texas Corn kind of wanting, you know, coming up in the Farm Bill, coming up in a lot of, you know, elections happening. We've got midterms coming up. What is Texas corn kind of wanting from the agricultural industry, policy-wise, and for the corn industry?
Well, it's, as we look at the Farm Bill coming up, and we'll be serious and heavy into that, I'm sure, once elections are over and we get into the beginning of 2023. We're going to be looking at working to strengthen the Title I program. Our cost of production, cost of doing business, is far above what our floor protection is that's built into that bill. We're going to be looking at things increasing reference prices, potentially increasing loan rates. With our prices at the levels they are, we've got a big gap down to where our protection is. And, you know, we started out last year thinking, you know, if we had $5 a bushel for corn, we'd probably be okay. And by the time we got all our fertilizer increases and fuel increases and stuff, we've got to have that protection. Right now, we've got protection at about $3.70 a bushel. We've got to get that floor brought up to where it's something more realistic to keep us, keep our farmers just in business, not necessarily to, farmers don't look at that to make money. They look at these things to keep them in business and go to next year and hope we get these prices again and can do it in a year we actually make our expected yields. So that's going to be one of the things. We're going to be looking at some things in the crop insurance side of keeping it very well protected. That's a critical thing we have to have when our growers go into do the financing for the next year, is what the crop insurance program is looking like. We're working on a new program we're hoping to be able to add that will help incorporate more of a whole farm look in a way that will be beneficial and simple for our farmers to do. That's something we'll be working with within the risk management side. And, of course, from conservation side, we're going to be looking at all of the programs they put into place. A lot of dollars are being rolled out for climate smart agriculture, and we've got to be sure those programs are things that are can be viable on Texas farms. Some of the programs they've initially rolled out for climate smart are built for more humid, high rainfall type areas, and a lot of them aren't real practical for a lot of our growers here in Texas. So we're going to be looking at how we can influence some of those plans in that realm that will fit our Texas farmers. Those are just kind of a few things highlight that we really see as areas we're going to be spending time on, Bryce.
Well, another big thing, too, is state legislation's kicking off in January with their sessions. And kind of what are y'all wanting out of, you know, some of these commissioners, some of the representatives within our state, to kind of represent the agricultural industry and the corn industry at the state level?
Well, it's yesterday we were in Austin in meeting, and Representative Ken King was visiting with us, and he said, you know, we're looking at a budget surplus here in the state of Texas. But the one thing the legislature has to do is school funding, and that's going to be a big thing. That's important to all our members out in the rural areas. Mm-hmm. So that's constitutionally, that's the one thing they have to do is take care of the schools. Past that, we're looking at transportation issues. You know, there's as many as they still say, upwards to 1,000 people a day moving into Texas. And we're starting to see some of that in our area. But what we've seen is most of the transportation dollars have been spent trying to take care of that main corridor. And we've got to have some of those dollars come back out and maintain our rural farm-to-market road structures and our state highways out here that we use to get our goods into our end users, get our end products moved. We've really got to see some of that money, and that's something we're going to be working on. We've been having labor issues, and we're looking at working with some of the representatives on getting a different, getting a class in high schools to train some of our kids to be able to be licensed CDL drivers to help move these local produce, not for interstate commerce, but for moving our local goods here within the state, mainly from farm to market. We're going to be having a lot of things on tax, property taxes. A lot of our counties, we're seeing a lot of increase in values come out, and just that taxing structure has become, setting our property tax rates has become an issue in a lot of our rural counties, and we think that's going to be addressed in this session. And then the big item we always, as corn growers, and especially for here on the High Plains and our other areas with irrigated, is looking and seeing what comes out in the way of changes in our bills pertaining to how groundwater is used, how it's regulated, and how it's governed. We feel like we have a good system in the High Plains. We do have problems with some of my producers in the Coastal Bend and Central Texas, where we don't have as well structured of water districts or their single county districts. And we want to be sure we work to help them fix their issue, but we don't want to hurt us up here where we've already got well-functioning, well-grounded water districts that have local elected representatives and in order to set the rules for that. So we're very cognizant and stay very aware of what's being talked about in the realm of groundwater.
I couldn't agree with you more. We've got really good soil and water districts up here, really monitoring in what we do, and very what other people say, we are very great stewards of the land and water, making sure that we use every drop to the maximum ability that we can in an efficient way. And going back to talking about policies and basically the Farm Bill and even atrazine in that aspect too, a lot of people are really skeptical of, you know, really putting their voice out, because a lot of people don't think it's going to change anything or matter really when you get to the national or even at the state level. People kind of don't want to deal with politics or policies. But David, how important is it to make sure that producers get their voices out and make sure that they go out and vote for the right agricultural representatives that they need?
Well, we've got elections coming up. All of our U.S. representatives are up for election every 2 years, and I know they're out traveling their districts and holding town halls. The candidates running against them are out doing their campaigns and doing the same thing. Our state representatives are up for election, and we've got to see town halls and meetings with them and their opponents. And the thing we encourage is for every citizen should be going and talking to their member and telling them what's important to them. You know, we as Texas corn or Texas wheat or Plains cotton growers or whatever other organization, we can go. And we want to be telling them the concerns of our growers and what they brought to us. But it's key that our growers, our producers, all citizens go and attend those town hall meetings, those campaign events, and be sure you tell them, get to know that member. You know, they may not remember your name every time they see you, but by you getting to know them, building a relationship so you can tell them what's concerning you on your farm or your property is just key. And that's something we encourage. And it's hard to get our producers out. They're busy harvesting right now, you know, and that's it's hard to get off of the combine or silage sharper out of the truck and go and spend 30 minutes talking to one of these folks as they come through your town. But it's just critical that you do, and we encourage that every opportunity we get.
Well, Mr. Gibson, if anybody has any questions about Texas corn or needs to get a hold of y'all, how can they do so?
Well, they can contact us by email through our website. Call us at our office at 806-763-2676 or just primarily get on the website. You can find our numbers. We're here to work for our corn growers.
As always, Mr. Gibson, thank you so much for coming out, talking a little bit about the corn industry and some of the policies and changes that are happening. So, of course, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC Studios. Don't forget that there is a new episode of Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, the podcast that dropped yesterday morning, talking a little bit about crop insurance. So make sure you check it out. And of course, we have the afternoon ag show happening from 6 to 7 p.m. So make sure you swing on by. But until then, I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your day.